like to follow the reading in the Bibles at the back of, on the chairs. It's on page 968. Paul is writing a letter to the Christians at Corinth, and he's asking them to be generous and cheerful in their giving to support those in Jerusalem. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
Thank you, Sue, very much for reading. Let me pray. We do thank you, O Lord God, for your inexpressible gift to us in Jesus. Thank you for his death for us on the cross. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you that you've poured out your Holy Spirit into each of our lives so that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our wonderful Saviour. May Jesus and your great generosity and kindness to us fire our hearts and motivate us to live like him, and especially in this whole matter of generosity. Help us now as we pause for a moment to listen to your word. Help us to listen openly and readily with hearts that long to live and be like Jesus, as we prayed. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Today we come to the second of two Bible talks on generosity. Now, in British culture, I don't know what that is like in Persian culture, or if you are from, if you're a Kurd, or if you're Polish. I don't know what it's like in your cultures, or if you just rocked up from Greece. I don't know what it's like in other cultures, whether you folks there tend and like to talk about money and about giving. Here in Britain, if you've not been here very long, you'll soon get to realise the British people, we don't like talking about money very much. We tend to keep that away. We can be somewhat embarrassed about talking about giving and generosity. But the Bible is not embarrassed at all about these things. The Bible says an awful lot about money and about giving and about generosity. So three summary statements that will cover some of the stuff that Andy Stavell looked at with us last week and some of the things we're looking at today and more generally from the Bible. Three summary statements about money, giving and generosity. Here is the first one. At the heart of Christianity is this: God and his generosity to us, and not what we give to him. Many people assume that churches, I said this earlier, just want their money. And that kind of thinking helps to hide authentic Christianity, which is that God has something very precious and extraordinary and remarkably valuable to give to us. And so let's not think that it's primarily about what we bring to him. The Bible says this, 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So that's one of the reasons why we rarely take an offering on a Sunday. We really want to expose ourselves and the folks that come to church to the reality of Christianity, not hide it. It's about what God gives to us. Second thing to say, Christian generosity is not motivated by guilt, but by grace. As Andy Stavell said last week, God's astounding generosity to us in coming himself to die upon the cross for our forgiveness turns those who believe in Jesus into generous people like Jesus. Chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Look back at last week's reading. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Here's the third thing to say. Christian generosity is not legalistic. It is liberating. The Old Testament part of the Bible commands tithing. That is giving 10% of income to the Lord's service. And tithing 10% is a good place to start thinking about our giving. But it is not the place to end. It should not be the only thing that shapes our giving. You'll have heard from Peter Turk earlier on that we as a church family together give 10% of what we are given to ministry and to work, cross-cultural work, particularly overseas. And so it's a good thing to be considering and to be thinking about. And if you are wondering where to start with your giving, 10% is a good place to begin. But as the Bible unfolds and we come to the New Testament, the Bible will not allow us to be legalistic. We are all in very different situations with varying financial circumstances. And the good news of Jesus liberates us to simply be generous with what we've got, not with what we've not got. So when we can be generous in all sorts of different ways, and there are folks with us today who we know you're not getting an income. You're having help from the government in order just simply to survive and live. And there are all sorts of other ways that the Lord encourages us to be generous. And we can be generous with our time, with our gifts, And so please don't be thinking in your mind that generosity is simply limited to finance. But we are talking about finance today. We can't limit that, though, to just a legalistic percentage. Look at the words that Sue just read for us a moment ago, chapter 9 and verses 6 to 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7, each one must give as he or she has decided in his or her heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And it is that verse 8 which is the key verse that we are going to focus on for the rest of today's Bible talk. And I want to draw out three things from that verse, verse 8. And the first one is this: God's astounding generosity. We heard about that last week when Andy preached on chapter 8, verse 9, God's astounding generosity to us in Jesus. And chapter 9 goes on to say, God has been extraordinarily generous to you already. He's not going to stop. Verse 8 tells us that God will continue to be astonishingly generous towards us. Now, the TV character Bart Simpson very famously once was asked to say grace. And his prayer went like this: Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Amen. Well, all the adults around were aghast in horror at his prayer. And the miserly rich man of the town made some sort of comments about saying only children could come out with such sort of blasphemous truth and the like. But it was a funny moment in that particular program. But what made it funny is what Bart Simpson said, and the way that the adults around him responded betrayed what most of us really think. This is my stuff. I earned it myself. Thanks for nothing. He betrayed the reality of our hearts. So we can't help ourselves going, ha, 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 because it's true. Our verse actually gives us the truth that our hearts would not want to believe in our sinful selves. That is that all we have is given to us by God. But our verse goes even further to say that God promises, and just look at it again now, notice all the alls in it. God promises to give us all we need all the time so that we can always be generous, still having everything we need in order to serve him. It is a very, very big promise indeed. It is stunning. It means that the motivation for Christian generosity is simple faith and trust that God will carry on being generous to us, that his generosity won't dry up. So the question for us is, do we want to be a verse 7 kind of Christian? Have a look again at verse 7. What kind of Christian is described in verse 7? It is a cheerful giver. And God loves cheerful givers. Do you want to be a happy, cheerful giver? I want to go, I think I do. Don't you want to be a happy, cheerful giver? Well, how does that come about? Well, it comes about by believing the promise of verse 8. So the question is, do we believe verse 8 or not? Do we think that God will keep his promise to us or won't he? God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You can be generous because God has more than got you covered. not just got your back, he's given you everything with great generosity so that you can be a generous person yourself and be blessed in abounding in good deeds and good works for the Lord. So will we listen to God? Will we listen to God today, then look away? Look away thinking, no, I don't trust him. I don't believe what he says. I can't take him at his word. Or will we listen to him today, then look up to him in prayer and love and pray, I do trust you. I believe your promise. I'm going to take you at your word. Which God will we choose to worship? The false God of the guilt trip? That is not a very kind God. It's a very cruel God, the God of the guilt trip. Will we follow the false God of legalism? Legalism is as horrible a God as the false God guilt trip. Or will it be just as nasty, the false God me? I paid for all this stuff myself. Or will it be the wonderful God of the Bible, the true and living God of astonishing generosity who makes this promise? Think about it. Talk about it over coffee today. Talk about it at the LF group upstairs or internationals upstairs later on. This coming week, our small groups, our gospel teams got an opportunity with a simple Bible discussion to come back to last week's Bible talk and today and to talk about these things and to pray about them together and to encourage each other to fix our hearts on God and upon his wonderful promises to us. God's astonishing generosity. Secondly, God's absolute faithfulness. Look again at the verse. There is something else to underline. God's promise to give his people all sufficiency in all things at all times so that you may abound in every good work, just simply the way it is written, underlines and emphasizes that God's intention is to deliver on this promise. There's the promise, and it's said in such a way as to say, I'm going to deliver on it. The absolute faithfulness of God is underlined. God made the promise, and God has every intention of keeping it. As a famous missionary, cross-cultural missionary once said, God's work done God's ways never lacks God's resources. God's work done God's ways never lacks God's resources. And it was Bill and Sheila Fernhuff, the eldest members of our church, who first told me, reminded me about that, as Christchurch Central was getting underway and we were concerned about all sorts of stuff. Will the Lord provide this, that, and the other? Bill just graciously and kindly, on the basis of decades of work in Japan and Mongolia and here in the UK, just said, no, let's just keep trusting God. We can. He will. He never lets his own kingdom down and his people down. He will provide. Bill and Sheila have been absolutely right all the way through our own church's existence. The first readers of this letter, the Christians in Corinth in the first century, they needed to have God's absolute faithfulness to them underlined. Why? Because they were normal human beings who were likely to forget it, to doubt it. And like them, we need reminding too, because we so easily forget that our Father God is absolutely faithful to us. And we have. And so I just want to rehearse some things and ask some questions about God's faithfulness. There have been many times since we've launched Christchurch Central 19 years ago, when we've been under enormous financial pressure. And on so many of occasions, things have not turned out in the way that we either hoped or prayed or planned or desired. They've turned out differently. But the question is this, and I think there are three previous Christchurch Central treasurers in the room and the current one. There's John over there, there's Mark over there, There's Kate over there and there's Pete over there. Four. Three previous and one current one. I can ask that. You can ask them. We'll ask them out. We'll ask them now. And they can answer for us. Honestly. Has there been any time when God has under-resourced his gospel work and his kingdom plans through Christ Church Central? No, no, no. You're worried about this coming year, are you? Listen to the others. Not yet. It's true. He hasn't done. And we can thank Mark Gilder. Mark sent a question after the report, finance report last year to me, saying, what about Fee and her salary? We've been thinking about that a while. Let's just make that happen. So, Mark, we're responding to you. And your good question from last year. Thank you for it. Let's trust God. He's never let us down so far. Quite the opposite. We have countless examples of God keeping his 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 promise. Through our mission partners, he's never let us down with ministry leaders in our church family in all sorts of different ways. He's never let us down with spaces and places to rent. We've had 2 double-decker buses in our church's life. One was useless and hardly got here from Wales, broke down. And then the other one was brilliant. And that was given by a very well-known bus company, shipped it down at his own cost from Glasgow. Buildings, building projects, chairs. Hope you're comfortable. Musicians, we've never lacked musicians here. We've been richly blessed for years with fantastic musicians, youth and children's leaders. You know, come September, we will have 20 children of secondary school age. That's a serious youth, eh? So, and Steve's thinking, how do we plan this out? Let's trust the Lord. And if he's emailed you and said, please get involved, just email back this afternoon and say, yes, I'm coming. I'm proving God's promises. I'm going to be involved. God's not let us down, and I'm going to go for it. He's never let us down with student ministry, gospel teams, progress courses. With Chris Houghton moving on, we were just wondering whether we could run 6 progress courses. We did. Well attended. Thank God for all those leaders who worked there. English classes, we got them. That was thrown out as an idea. Got lots of people in the church who need to learn English. So we threw it out there with Andy Wilson and said, what do we do with this? And now we have, you know, upstairs 25, 26 folks learning English on a Monday afternoon. Is that not brilliant? The Lord has provided. He's provided cleaners. He's provided baking and treasurers. Whoop, lined them all up. Safeguarding, operations and administration. The LF group, fantastic. He provided medical kits in the van and drivers to get stuff to Ukraine. Today, our treasurers invited us to review our giving, especially with women's minister salary in mind. And we need to look at the document that he sent, given to us with 2 Corinthians 9, 8 promise on our hearts. Read the promise again, then review our giving. That's what we need to be doing. The promise is true for us as a church family. And I think we'll find it's true for us personally. Food and fuel costs are going up in an eye-watering way. Now, Tanya and I went to buy some milk just the other evening, walk out to one stop. And as we walked back, we thought, that has gone up more than 50%, that little jug of milk. That is serious, isn't it? Basic commodity. It is serious. The cost of living is set to go up further. £2 for a litre of diesel. And that will affect all the distribution of all the food to all the shops. And so now is a time to say, will we trust God's faithfulness? Will we trust God personally and in our households to keep this promise? Because we could cave in on ourselves and go, oh, it's all going wrong. Or we can look to the Lord to trust him and say, it's going to be a lot more difficult. I'm going to tighten my belt, but I'm going to keep trusting him. And I'm going to keep still looking out for ways to be generous because I can't outgive God. I can't. And I never will be able to outgive God. And the example of the Macedonian Christians back in chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, the Macedonian churches were poor, very poor in comparison to the Corinthian church. Paul writes to the richer Corinthian church in chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, and he says, in actual fact, if you look across at the Macedonian churches, they're very poor, but that didn't stop them giving. We want you to know, brothers, sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us. Isn't that brilliant? An example of folks facing really severe financial crisis, not stopping being generous. Will we be, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, promised believers? Many people in our city don't have anything of the disposable income that some in our church family have, which means that you will be able to get through the financial crisis over these coming days. Some folks in church, there is a cushion, got disposable income that can, you know, eat into. Others in our city, just nowhere near that. Just leads me to say, you know, we've got the food bank, Burngreave food bank box over there. It won't take much for us, whenever we're shopping, to buy some more stuff and bring it on a Sunday and put it in there. The Burngreave food bank, the stocks are being depleted. So let's look to the Lord, trust him to keep his promises and carry on being generous to others. So, God's astounding generosity and God's absolute faithfulness. Thirdly, I want to just pick up the last little phrase in chapter 9, verse 8. It talks about that we may abound in every good work. God provides everything we need, and that frees us and liberates us to just abound in generosity, abound in serving God, and keeping on just abounding in Christian living and in living for the Lord God. So the poorer church, and my last point is the abounding, God's abounding church. The poorer church in Macedonia abounded in God's work, and so did the richer church in Corinth. They partnered together with some other churches as well to help the famine, the famine hit church in Jerusalem. That's the original context. And today, Peter has invited us to review our generosity and our giving. One of the results of our generosity and knowing God's generosity to us is being freed to do God's good work. And our finances come within the context of some other good works that we are looking to the Lord to help us to do. So coming up on the screen, I hope, Chris, there's the resolve document 20 to 2025. You may not have been around when we developed this. You might have come to the church since then. But we had a couple of church-wide meetings, church family praise and prayer. Folks contributed to it. We had church leadership time away to think and discern and just pray, well, what, Lord, might you be leading us to be doing? What might our resolutions for doing good gospel work look like over these next 5 years? And each year we come back and do a little bit of a review as the church oversight team. Give a little bit of a summary. We send that out earlier in the year. Who are we and why are we here as a church? Well, that's the big picture. We're Reformed, we're Evangelical, we're Protestant, we're Anglican. We're grounded in the Bible, in God's word. We belong to the Anglican mission in England. We are a church for people who don't go to church. That is, we want to take the good news of Jesus to those who don't yet know him. And our values, we've refreshed them. They are come to Christ, belong to his family, and then love our neighbors. But what sort of church do we want to be? And we just thought, at the time, we just reviewed and thought about what God had been saying to us through his word, our church experience. And so this is the kind of good works that we set our hearts to be, and pray that the Lord, would you lead us to be this kind of church, a church that glorifies God, a thankful church that demonstrates that by being prayerful. We're thankful to God, he provides us with everything we need. So we want to be a prayerful church. And we do want more folks to keep coming to join us at our church family praise and prayer evenings to demonstrate we're dependent upon our Father and we're so thankful to him for all that he provides us. We want to be a free church, free from fear and anxiety, our minds set on Jesus, confident in him and gladly obeying him. We want to be a spirit-filled church, not quenching the spirit, but being joyful, joyful in Jesus, joyful about our leaders, joyful in one another. We want to be a loving church, countercultural, a public sanctuary where vulnerable people and people who are broken can come and share and belong and be healed and fixed and loved, where disagreements and rebukes are managed graciously and for good. A proclaiming church, proclaiming the whole counsel of God, the good news of Jesus to believers and unbelievers, women and men and children of any ethnicity. That's what it is to be a city center church in a city like Sheffield. We've got to be multi-ethnic. Thank God for answering that prayer. Cross-cultural, engaging with people who are at the moment a part of other religions and lifestyles. A Bible-living church that applies God's word to every area of life. Those are the real big things we will long for God to keep leading us forward. And our part of our giving financially is a part of that big picture. And then number three, what are our hopes? Is drilling down into some of the detail. Where are things just this year? Here are some of the things to highlight. Place the DQ Center, replace the chairs. We have done. On the list, we're looking to replace this pillar here. Just makes more seating space. We've been given a sum of money that may well help do that. And I know, Michael, you've got some engineer to come and have a look at that, haven't you? See how we can do it. So that's kind of like on its way. Staffing, we've heard from Peter about that earlier on, and we're looking to raise the funds to pay our women's minister. Reaching out, we wanted to make Easter much more of a mission time, but our culture, I don't think we're ever really going to focus on Easter. So we'll keep Easter as it is. Some of the plans we had, they didn't work out, okay? You might have noticed that. Well, you wouldn't have done because many of you are on holiday. That's the reason why. So we'll keep mission and other points of the parts of the year, and we'll keep doing Easter as we've done it for 19 years. We won't try changing that again. That was a silly idea. And we're allowed to have silly ideas, you know, if you keep walking forward, trusting God and trying things out. Reaching out to Mirpuris, yes, that's part of the international mission, which we've got happening beginning next week. And we prayed about that earlier on. And we want to reach out to those that are of a creative bent in our community. So one of the progress courses this year was Creative Christianity. A bit of a step up and a move in that direction. Building up belonging to God's family. We want to work towards greater diversity in our leadership team. We've got to do that. We're not just a white church. And that's got to be seen in our leadership. So please keep praying for our Aleph ministry. Our Aleph ministry, 40, 45 members of it. They've now got 5 discovery groups. So technically, as a church, we've moved from 8 small group gospel teams to, well, you added up, 13, 14. We've grown, and that needs careful manage. Pray for us as we figure things out with Ali Piran and others over these coming days. This is really important. There are various things we want to implement about being an AME church. And we want to keep on sending, loving our neighbors and keeping on sending folks to other parts of the world. So pray for Andy Wilson and for the mission support team as we review a number of potential new mission partners because the Sandals have come back and the Moors have come back. So we're freed to find some other opportunities for the way forward. This is wonderful things to be a part of. And our giving is a part of that as we depend upon God's generosity to us to keep providing us with everything we need for all of these things. And he will, because he keeps his promise. So let me end. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. We're going to sing. We're going to sing of God's promises. And in the next song, we're going to say, yeah, I stake myself on your promises, Lord. I trust you. So please do stand. Musicians are coming out from the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun. I will stand on every promise of your word. Please do stand.